Hello and welcome to our 86th episode of the Gutenberg Changelog podcast. In today's episode, we'll be talking about Beta 4 6.3, Gutenberg 16.2, and the first posts about what to expect for phase 3 on Gutenberg. And I'm your host, Birgit Pauli Haag, curator at the Gutenberg Times and WordPress developer advocate, also full-time core contributor to the WordPress open source project. And I'm here with my friend and colleague, Sarah Norris, JavaScript developer on the themes team, core contributor and co-tech lead for the release in 6.4. So that's in November, but we are starting now. Sarah and I danced a good 2 hours at the Pride party in Athens, and we had great fun. I haven't danced that long for decades. So thank you so much for joining me on the show today, Sarah. So how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. That Pride party was super fun. It's a beautiful setting on a rooftop bar in Athens. And yeah, beautiful weather. And I got so many steps in, I like tripled my step goal.
Yeah, I did too. But not as much as I did the first day I was in Athens when I went up the Acropolis twice. So
twice. Yes, that's a big hill to climb twice.
So if you do it twice, you get a lot of steps in. I think that was the day I had 17,000 or so. So you're working on the Gutenberg project. And so when you think about 6.3, what excites you the most about what's coming up next month?
Yeah, there's so many exciting updates, especially around enhancing the UX of the site editor in particular, which is super exciting. So one of my favorites is the command palette, because it allows people to search for different parts of the site, like navigation, pages, style variations, templates. And it's similar to like Spotlight on a Mac or using Alfred. So it's like a really quick way to access different areas of the site without you having to search through different menus.
Yeah.
So that's a really cool update.
Yeah, that's a cool feature. Yeah, I like it too, because now I don't have to figure out which of the different editors I have to use to do stuff. Yeah, so I cannot just ask that command palette. Yeah, open a page or open a post or edit a template or something like that. Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Another thing I'm excited about is the updates to the site editor sidebar. So currently in 6.2, we've only got a list of templates and template parts. But 6.3, it's going to look a lot different. Oh, well, it's going to look similar, but there's going to be a lot more items. So we're introducing, there's like navigation, styles, pages, patterns as well. So I guess similar to the command palette, it gives you a lot more options to access those other features quickly. So if you're already in the site editor context, you've got more options to get to other areas a lot quickly.
Yeah, I like that too, especially the part where I can edit my page content together with my page templates. So I yes. can just switch that and say, oh, that's a template I want to do for, yeah. And now I need to fix something on one of the pages. And I can do it all from the site editor. I wish I could also do posts from there, but I guess maybe that's coming, maybe not.
Yeah. Maybe it's coming.
Anything else?
Yes. So I guess specifically on the pattern section, this is now where template parts are going to live. So sometimes, I guess, if people are already using the editor and they're following along with updates, this can be a little bit maybe confusing, or it's just like, oh, I've just got used to template parts. Now the patterns. But I think it's a really good change for new users, because it's less terms to use, template to template. And then there's patterns, and especially with this refocus on patterns, it's a single word we can now use. So maybe we had like a few other words before, and so yeah, any reduction in terms is a win.
Yeah. Yeah, that's in line with also renaming reusable blocks to pattern. Yeah, they're right. Sync patterns now, and then template parts are patterns. They are reused, but they are reused on the templates. And yeah, so it's more, I think what will round it all up later on is when we have partial sync patterns. So when you use a pattern on a page and you want to change the styling or the color, that it kind of changes over all the patterns that all the time that you use that pattern, but with different content. So yeah, that is still a piece that's missing. But I think the foundation needed to be there. Yeah, with kind of figuring out It's all the same, just a little bit different. Yeah, reusable blocks and
Yeah.
patterns and template parts, they're all the same soup. It's just different flavors. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
And
Yeah.
I think you're right. For a new person coming to WordPress, it's much easier to figure out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and anything we can do to speed up that understanding as well, it really like helps gives you a boost to understanding how to use a site editor. I
Yeah.
think it also that this refocus on patterns helps building block themes much easier as well. And it highlights how we can create a variety of different layouts across themes. So patterns, they can be just part of one theme, but other patterns can be part of any number of themes as well. And it really
Indeed.
highlights how themes are a collection of different aspects rather than just this a single static asset as they might have been in the past. And yeah, I love that. I'm really looking forward to different people trying that out.
Yeah, and having certain parts of your site being your site, not depending on the theme, I think that's the next
Yes.
level that wasn't before possible in WordPress. Yeah, but it's an interesting, yeah, that templates can be different from the theme. And that kind of blows my mind right there.
Yeah, it's like a
Just
whole
because
new
of
layer.
whole new layer and whole new complexity. But yeah, I like it because it's for a user, it doesn't really matter. Yeah, if it's a theme related pattern or their own pattern, but they will be surprised when it all of a sudden it goes away when
Yes,
they
exactly.
change the theme. Yeah, so yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so now that's different. Yeah, it won't go away. Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else that excites you?
Yes, there is something actually that I really wanted to mention. So for Beta 4 that's just been released, there's some major performance boosts. So they're all going to come out with 6.3. So there's some major performance boosts to both classic and block themes. And for both client side and server side, it means a significant boost to the largest content for paint or the LCT metric, which is basically when the page's main content has likely been loaded. So with 6.3, there's going to be a reduced LTP of 26% for block themes and 19% for
Oh,
classic themes. Yeah, so that's
that's
like
pretty
massive.
big,
Yeah.
yeah, a mess,
Yeah.
yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, it matters. But it matters so much as well because it's so many websites this will roll out to. Yeah, I really wanted to highlight it because it's something to really
Yeah.
shout about and celebrate.
Yeah, so
And
when you upgrade to 6.3, all of a sudden your sites are faster, almost 20%, yeah, even if you're on a classic theme. So yeah, that's definitely a boost, and you don't have to do anything. It's all for
Yes,
free.
exactly. Yeah, it's all automatic. Automatically performance boost.
Yeah, depending of course what plugins you use and what the theme does, but yeah.
Yeah, base level. Base level,
Base
20%
level.
performance
Base level, yeah. There are always edge cases and we need to kind of be aware of those and that might happen. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, that's a lot of things to come. I really like that the footnotes block made it into 6.3. It was a little late on that, but it definitely comes and there is a certain corner in our community that actually has been waiting for that for many, many years. Yeah, so now it's here.
Yes, yeah, that'll be major for certain like certain aspects of it's also certain different types of articles
Yeah.
that people use WordPress for. It's yeah, footnotes. I can imagine people have been waiting for that for such a long time. So yes,
Yeah,
that's
some of
great.
them are still kind of hand coding all the
Right.
pieces to get it together. Yeah. So in a similar vein, I wanted to highlight a community contribution from Justin Padlock. He has had a plugin in the repo for a long, long time that deals with breadcrumbs. And he migrated that into that it's block based now. So you can have a breadcrumb block for your pages and archives. And it automatically will pick up the hierarchy of the nested pages. And you can change text color, background, link color, and including the hover state, and also adjust the padding on the margins. And it's really, it has been submitted to the plugin repo. But yeah, there appears to be a 2 month waiting time for new plugins to get approved. So we will share in the show notes the link to the GitHub repo and where you can just download the zip file from there. But I tested it and I really like it. It helps me kind of organize some of my test sites quite a bit. And Justin Tadlock has been in the community for many, many years. So his code is solid. And yeah, so I share that with you. I wish there were something similar in core, but this is the next best thing. So let us know what you think about it. So that brings us to our section, what's released. And as you mentioned, Sarah mentioned it before, WordPress 6.3 beta 4 was released this week, and it's really coming down to the wire. So if you haven't tested your plugins, themes, and other customizations of your website, you should start testing now, because you have less than a month to fix things if they break. The final release is August 8th. And today we're recording on July 14th. Oh, by the way, happy Pasti Day in France. Yeah, so get on the testing part. And I have been saying this for now 4 weeks, but the more you test, the more we can find the bugs now, and we can kind of release a better product. Yeah, so have you been testing WordPress 6.3 beta 4?
Yes, I have. Yes. Yeah, I've got the beta plugin installed, and yeah, make sure I'm up to date. default testing.
Yeah, I have websites. One website that is actually using nightly, and when it's release time, the beta and release candidates in production. So I know immediately when something doesn't work. As I do with the Gutenberg nightly, yeah, that I use in production on certain sites. So
living on the edge.
Yeah, welcome to the life on the edge. But I actually hear that Matt Monowick is using the WordPress nightly on his blog as well. So
yes,
in production. So yeah, there's a lot of trust coming out of the team, and it's well warranted. There has been the team that is releasing 6.3 has been stellar, like all the other ones. And there was a little hiccup for beta 1, but beta 4 was smooth. It was done in 58 minutes. That I think is a record. Well, it's definitely very, very fast. Sometimes
yeah,
it takes about 90 minutes. Yeah. So it comes really down to the wire. So, yeah. So if you find something, say something.
Yeah, definitely. I think what's really impressive when you, during the beta parties and with the testing, the bugs that usually the bugs are found, and I'm touching wood as well, because I don't want to tempt fate with any large, but yeah, the bugs that are found, they're either hard to replicate or hard to find. So, you know, they're small bugs. And I think that's like kudos to the team that are involved in that. Mm-hmm. You know, that the bugs aren't that visible.
Yeah.
You know, there's rare cases, but generally speaking, and so I think if you're helping to test as well, even if you find a bug that you think is maybe doesn't matter too much, even just mention it, because that's what the team are looking for. They're usually the bugs that are, like, I'm looking at the changelog for Gutenberg, and the bug fixes, they're all the little edge cases, and to make sure it's really polished. And I think I'm always impressed with that, because there's no really major visible bugs. It's always the little ones.
Yeah, it's always the little one. And that is also what kind of gets us done. Well, it's like everything else in life. It's the little things, right,
yes,
that make you happy and that make you aggravated.
Exactly.
So, and that brings us to Gutenberg 16.2 release that happened this week. There were 184 PRs committed by 47 contributors. That's a lot of change coming in 2 weeks period,
yes,
given that 16.1 had 255 PRs to go through. So Sarah, you're in luck. You only got 2/3 of what we did last year.
Yeah, that's true. I should be grateful.
So do you want to start? Get us in there.
Yes. Yeah, so the first one we're looking at, so this is rename reusable blocks to patterns. So this is renaming reusable blocks to synced patterns. So this is to align with the new editor terminology that I guess we've just touched on. So a synced pattern is any change made to one pattern that gets deployed to all instances of that pattern across your site. And then the opposite would be an unsynced pattern. And so they're included in the inserter with all your other patterns, but changes to these patterns will not be reflected throughout the site. And then that means you can customize each instance of that pattern.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, this is a wording, a terminology update, but I think it really aids the UX of the site editor in general.
Yeah, but what it also brings, and I'm very delighted to say, is that you now can actually create patterns on your site. Yeah, up until now, you were reliant on themes or on the community patterns from the pattern directory to get patterns, or you had to write them in PHP and then upload it to
Right.
your site. Yeah, but now you have the same interface with, or the same workflow with which you created reusable blocks or now sync patterns. You can now also use to create unsync patterns. So you have a much more, the user has much more freedom to create some reusable blocks and some reusable sections of the site that can then be further customized or not. Yeah. So I think there were a lot of people waiting for that part because not everybody touches code or has somebody
Right.
around that can't touch code. Yeah. So doing it in the interface is really that's actually the big win from the name change.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. And yeah, anything that helps the low code or no code ability around the site editor is fantastic. It really opens up WordPress to so many new users. And I'm really looking forward to seeing, hopefully just personally, more designers using
Yeah.
WordPress as well, because there's so many beautiful designs out there already. So yeah, I'm
Yeah.
really looking forward to
Yeah, me
the
too.
beautiful design patterns increasing as well.
Yeah, and I saw in the theme directory, just as a side, quite a few new themes, block themes that were done by contributors that haven't done a theme before or that haven't even
Yes.
contributed before. And that is such a great development with that. I really love that to see. Yeah, even if it's simple or yeah, to kind of get the feet wet and kind of get through the whole process of kind of getting into the theme directory. I think that's another hurdle by itself. But once they made it, it's much easier to get the second, third, and fourth theme into the directory. But that was just a side note. So the next feature from 6.16.2, I'm doing it again, 16.2, is the rename of Command Center to Command Palette. It's not a new feature, but it's kind of the name change is really following what the there was a big discussion on GitHub, and I think that is where the most consensus kind of came around. That Command Palette is something that is translatable, is relatable, even for non-native English speakers. And so, yeah, and we talked about it, how excited we are about it. Yeah, so, and both the renaming of the reusable block to patterns and the rename of the command palette, it all will be in 6.3. So when people ask me what features from Gutenberg will be in 6.3, I would say 15.2 release to 16.1, but I think that's a lie. I think it's 16.2. There are major sections from 16.2 Gutenberg release that all actually made it into 6.3, especially the whole thing around the site editor library and the sync and all that. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I think that it's a good name change as well. I think it's a term that should be localized fairly easily, which is important. Okay, so this is the library adding sync status to the pattern details screen. And so this is really cool that can be expanded on in the future to include more details as well. So this shows the sync status of a pattern on the pattern details screen. So it's either going to say not synced or fully synced currently at the moment, but this can be expanded to include further details about the pattern, things like the author who made the pattern, maybe where the pattern's being used across the site. So things like template names, or
Yes.
pages or posts. So yeah, I'm really excited about the potential here. But also the feature that's being added in 6.3, it's super helpful. It's just the information being there so easily. It's
Yeah.
great. Yeah,
Yeah.
great
Yeah.
update.
Yeah. So there was for a while the last item on the menu in the site editor on the left-hand side was called library and had template parts and had patterns. And that has also been changed to patterns, because everything that's in there is actually per se a pattern, and library was too big. Yeah, they were thought maybe they put the fonts in there or some styles or something like that, but it didn't pan out. Yeah, it kind of is all the it's the seconds for the patterns, and everything else will be in a different heading there. So it's the reusable blocks, the sync patterns, the template parts, as well as the unsync
Yes.
patterns. Yes.
Yes.
And
Yeah.
there will be a section in that menu item that called My Patterns. So these are the customized patterns that you did that were created with the UI and on site. They're not coming from themes, they're not coming from plugins, they're not coming from code. They come from your interaction with the interface, and you build them all yourself. So it's all yours. It says my patterns, but it's yours. It's kind of
Again, that's another like really good UX terminology update that I think helps, but I guess primarily new users, because unfortunately, if you've been used to the terms, you get reused to the terms. But that's all good. It's part of working in an open project with lots of different iterations all the time. And new users, we need, they get the benefit.
I don't know, with a 20-year-old project, how long does it take till you are not a new user anymore? Or how many new users does it take to kind of take over the majority of? But then how long are then, well, anyway. So any user will have an advantage about it. For some of us, we need to relearn things. But we have an active mind and we can relearn things because these are small changes. Yeah, it's just a little vocabulary kind of thing. Speaking of which, we are not done with the name changes, are we?
No, there's another one, but another really good one as well. So yes, there's been a change, changing the home template name to blog home. So this one is for templates and touches on something that's been around a little bit longer than patterns, I suppose. So the name home suggests that the template will display the site homepage. So this is true when the reading settings of the site are configured to display the latest posts on the front page. But if there's a static front page set, then the home template will display the post page, not the home page. So this is where the confusion lies, and has for a long time as well. But for block themes, it's more easily surfaced, especially to people who aren't deep in the code. So the renaming of the home template in the site editor to blog home is a lot more descriptive for what it's actually being used for, whilst the template file name is still home.html. So that still is a parallel of home.php. And so it's still exactly the same in the template hierarchy. It's just the visual name that's been changed. But again, I think it's particularly useful for low code or no code users. It's much easier to understand, and it just re-emphasizes that it's going to be used for the blog and not always the home page. We're not completely fixing anything here, but it's certainly the start of hopefully addressing this issue that's been resurfaced to non-coders, basically. So yeah, I'm really excited to see if this does help, and see what journey it takes us down into addressing the homepage confusion that has existed for a while. But yeah, but hopefully with
Yeah,
block
and that,
themes and
yeah, and the way you explained it, I actually understood
cool.
the confusion. So, yeah, and I finally kind of got the trigger that, oh, okay, now I got it. So when, but now the question for you, how, if I use the setting that I want a static page, then it just displays the page, right, from the page template
It,
that
yes,
I
yeah.
designate as the front page, as the home page.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
And you just have to be aware that that's changing a template. And again, we could probably add some additional helper functionality in the site editor to help people understand that. Because currently you have to jump out into the WP admin, into the settings section. Into the settings. So yes, I think we could maybe surface that in different areas, but then when I start to think about it also gets more confusing, but I'm sure we'll figure out a way to make it make sense, because there's additional confusion as well with the existence of the front page.html template, and that takes precedent over any other template to be the front page. And so obviously you can use that to your advantage if you want to be a really opinionated theme and say, this is always going to be the front page, this is definitely the prettiest version of this of the patterns I can put together. But then because it's so opinionated or always is the front page, it can be confusing to users who are trying to not make it the front page. So there's just additional legwork or additional click to get around it not being that template. But
And then there is a front dash page dot HTML.
so that's the one I'm talking about. But yes, there's also index. So there's home.html, which is the one that's been visually renamed. There's front dash page.html, which is the one you just mentioned, and then there's also index.html. which for to anyone who's worked with the web before, it's hopefully the most easy to understand because it's the index. But again, to non-coders, it's just a third thing that could also be your front page. and that's always the default. If nothing else exists, it's indexed. But yeah, I understand how it can be really confusing. I mean, if you've ever looked at the WordPress template hierarchy page in the documentation, I think it's fantastic because it's a really good visual map. But then the first time I saw it, I was like, oh, wow, there's a lot of mapping going on here. There's a lot of different options to choose from.
Yeah, indeed.
But yeah, it's a good challenge to have, I think, in the site editor. Yeah, I think we can fix it in many different ways. And yeah, we'll get there.
Yeah, and you just reminded me, we have on the developer blog, one of the early posts was about the template hierarchy for...
Oh, yes, I remember. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, it was a really good post. Yeah.
Demystifying home and post templates in WordPress theme development. And yes. I'm kind of putting that link into the show notes, full knowing that it was before the name change. So
yes,
we need to.
I think
review,
that's okay. Yeah.
We need to review that post so we can make sure that that's the same with a new name change there.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. That was an excellent article by Daisy Olson, and had some great examples and screenshots there. Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah.
So what else?
So I think the next thing was introducing more welcome guides. So again, I think this is a really good UX. Update. So this is adding welcome guides to the page content focus and template focus. So the little well-designed modals that pop up when you jump into different areas of the site editor. I think it's easy for new users to be confused on, or you mentioned this before, on new users to be confused on whether they're editing a template, how the template influences the page and vice versa, and which context they're used in. So yeah, so this is a great way to introduce people to the differences.
Yeah, it's also a good way for those of us who are new to this new site editor experience. And that's also a new user, but for the first 4 years, we were kind of trained to just click away the welcome guides because it hasn't had anything new and it didn't remember our choices. So it will come back, but it's coming back with new content. So read it a little bit because it helps you kind of get over that hurdle. Where am I and what am I doing? Quite easily, and has some nice animations in there. I really like them. And they are hidden under the acronym NUX. And yeah, that's new user experience. I always thought there was something like NPM and NPX and NUX. It's all the same JavaScript library kind of thing. No, it isn't. It's new user experience. So I read over it quite fast until I kind of saw the words welcome guides. And I said, oh, there's new content there. So, and I checked it out and I really like it. And I learned a bit. Yeah, if you want to get started quickly and not have to read through all the changelog and all the posts that are coming out, use the welcome guides. And then, but we hopped over of something on themes like add border and theme support, border theme support and link color theme support. That is a new thing that actually it was fixed in WordPress core, but needed to be synced up with the Gutenberg plugin. And you said you worked on it. What exactly had happened?
Yeah, I'm not sure what you'd call it if it's not a backport. It's like a forward.
It's a sink.
Port.
It's a sink.
A sink. A sink.
It's a sink. A kitchen sink. No, it's a sink.
Yes. Yes. So this is previously the border and link theme supports were they were named experimental. So this update basically takes out the experimental. Yeah, that's essentially it. But yeah, it's a really good update because I think the word experimental can be scary to anyone who's including APIs in new plugins or themes. So yeah, just the fact that it's not there anymore is brilliant.
Yeah, and that's the support you said in theme JSON for the color, for link color, and that quite a bit. So you have an UI for link color and border theme. Border radios, border size, and border of the sites. So you could have a left side and a bottom side border, but you don't have a border on the left side or a right side and the top side or something like that. Yeah, so it's really cool. The next thing is really cool, And it's not coming to the expense free. You need 16.2 to get it. And that's that the typography, you can get some text orientation in a paragraph to go vertical. Of course, you're not gonna do this for whole full paragraphs with multiple lines. You probably do this for a header or for a subheader or something like that. It's not going to be in the heading block, but it's in the paragraph block. But you need to enable it in the theme JSON at all, and then it's only available for paragraph blocks. So it's still the early iteration, but I find it really cool. Yeah, so you could, because it's not in the heading, you could just kind of change the font size of it to be a little bit bigger. You make it vertical, and then you can put it, place it next to to a paragraph in a group block row, and then you have some interesting layouts that you can play with. I find it really fascinating.
Yeah, it's a really cool change. I remember a site I made years ago, like probably 20 years ago, where I was playing around with text being vertical instead of horizontal, and it makes for some really interesting design, design capabilities. It's a really cool update. It's also enabled on post navigation links as well as the paragraph block. So the next and previous post.
Oh,
So they,
okay, yeah.
yeah, so yeah, because we
Oh,
can maybe.
cool.
Yeah, lots of more design flexibility with those because I guess they're usually on the sides. So yeah, that aids going vertical as well as horizontal.
Oh, nice. Yes. Oh, that I didn't know that. Yeah, excellent. Yeah. Must have missed it when I read the PR. Yeah, you could also do it kind of next to an image or something like that. Yeah. So it's and you have full control over background, margins, color. Yeah, so it really put it to use in your designs and make something amazing.
Yes. Next up is the range control, so adding support for large 40 pixel number input size. So I think this is a really nice visual update to the range control component in the editor, which helps align the UI for all components, because I think quite a lot of other components have been using this size. So yeah, it brings the range control into line, and it affects the visual spacing around the number input for the range control. So it's much easier to read and use, and especially if you're scanning through lots of components and settings, then it's much easier to read now.
Yeah, and plugin developers can use it in their plugins as well. These are components that are available to any developer who uses the components, and now it's an additional attribute for there to have some bigger numbers in there. So the next thing is a new API and makes the new register inserter media category API extensible, so other plugin developers and can use it to organize the media categories. So this is probably one of the things that people waited for almost 20 years about, that there is a hook to insert media categories into WordPress. Have you played around with it? Do you know how it works?
Haven't played around with it, but I've read the updates though. I think it's a great update, especially for plugin developers, because it allows them to register their own media categories, and then they'll be displayed in the inserter. So it's perfect for plugins that are adding custom blocks. Extensibility is at the heart of WordPress as well. So I think this is a really good example of that.
Excellent. Yeah. So, and that brings us to one of the major changes to TinyMCE deprecation, but don't get scared. You still can use it. This change sets the path for the TinyMCE deprecation to update the experiments with a strategy to get the TinyMCE and the classic block not loaded automatically, but only when it needs to load. That definitely has a performance improvement. And right now it's an experiment and it needs to be tested, especially with the extensibility that is around TinyMCE that has been in WordPress for almost 20 years, but it's also containing classic blocks. And so the question is how it's gonna behave with whatever's in the classic blocks and for Gutenberg. So it's not quite clear to me what the end goal is, but I think that is pretty much the end goal, to have TinyMCE not load automatically, but load only when it really needs to be loaded.
Yeah, I think that's the end goal, to fully deprecate TinyMCE. Yeah, which it'd be a massive boost to the performance of the editor, which is really great to hear. I was playing with this before, and a common use case for the classic editor was to insert HTML using the code editor rather than the visual editor. So how you can switch between the code and the visual editor. So this is still possible, but if you use the code editor to do this with this experiment enabled, you'll see a warning that says you're trying to use a deprecated classic block. But what's really cool is that it gives you the choice to convert the HTML to a custom HTML block, so using the new editor, or you can refresh the page to use the classic block if you prefer to do that. So it gives you the option to do both. But converting to the custom HTML block is so quick. You just click the button and it's immediately there and it just works as it was before. I think that's really impressive. And I think it'll help aid the transition to using the block editor as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we all need a little help once in a while to kind of see how good things are. But to make it totally clear, WordPress is not abandoning TinyMCE. If you're using the classic editor, you will still have access to it. It will be backwards compatible. And it's just that the classic block in Gutenberg kind of is maybe on the way out with a TinyMCE. But it's a start of an experiment, so it could be another year or two, or maybe only half a year, depending how the experiments go. But yeah, it's try it out and see what you think about it. There is in the changelog, there's the PR. But if you want to write it down on the podcast, it's 50387. That's the PR that deals with it. So, and there was a lot of discussion there as well. But I found it important that we talk about it. I'm pretty sure it's not the last time that we talk about it.
It's the beginning.
It's the beginning. It's the beginning of an experiment. What else was in 16.2 that we wanted to talk about? There's a lot of bug fixes. There's quite a few also, just a polish of a copy and icons and all that. Global styles, revision API. That is all for 6.3. I think we're done, are we?
Yes, I think so. Yeah, there are a lot of bug fixes though. I've noticed there's quite a lot of things like spacing updates to get a lot of the editor components in line, which it sounds like really tiny updates, but when you add them all together, I think it really aids the experience of the editor and it really makes a big difference. They're good updates.
If you get more clarity and more consistency in the design, that definitely makes a difference. Yeah. So I'm stopping just for a little bit at the documentation. For the developers, there has been a push from Ryan Welcher to update some of the package documentation and add examples to the packages, so you know how they can be used and kind of get started on using them without having to go through the source codes and figure it out how you're actually going to do the API there. So, and in this release, there was examples to the rich text package, to the keyboard shortcut package, and to the customized widget package. And I'm sure he's working on more. There is a tracking issue in Gutenberg repo for these kind of updates. Another push on documentation is to add readmes to some of the components that don't have them, because the examples and the readme are automatically added to the handbook of the block editor. And if it's in code, then automatically it will show up in the documentation. So that's definitely a great developer experience updates. And it can only do one at a time, but sooner or later, we all get through that.
Yeah.
All right. And the last thing I wanted to mention is there will be revisions of your style variations. So if you, or your global styles, 6.3, the revisions for styles will be in there or are already in there. So when you change some of your styles and you say, okay, the one that I did yesterday, I would like better, you will be able to go back to that particular moment in time in your revisions and make that the current one. The team was also working on giving the same revision treatment to template customization, but that didn't work well enough to get into 6.3. So that is something that will be in 6.4. Template revisions are not yet. They're still experimental. You can get them in 16.2. Yeah, and work with them, but they did not make it into 6.3.
Yeah, I think the style revisions are a really neat update. Yeah. And actually the whole way you can view the style book now as well.
Oh yeah. That's a real cool thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very cool. Yeah, how fast you can preview the styles. But I really love how you can just switch to the style book, and I don't often hear it talked about that much. I think it's a perfect way to test your theme. If you just open the style book, you can test so many aspects of a theme. And yeah, I think 6.3 is really highlighting how you can do this.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's one other thing. It's that you can preview themes. So if you have downloaded a theme, a block theme, but you haven't activated yet, you can actually preview that and also see it in the stylebook. So you see how your blocks behave with a new theme. I think that's really cool. You can also see how your pages behave if you have certain designs on some pages or posts. Yeah, so the preview, that's kind of getting feature parity almost with the customizer that was for classic themes, where you also could do black previews of themes with your own content. I think for many, many years that was really missing here in Gutenberg. And I really love that that's coming to 6.3.
Yeah, it's very cool.
And that is the changelog of 16.2. We have a big section in the What's Active development and discussed because Matthias Venturo has started thinking very deeply about the Gutenberg phase three. He published in March a more global, high level kind of approach on that. And now he published seven, oh, five. Or six posts on certain aspects of it. So he covers real-time collaboration, outlines the concurrent collaboration and share edits that he envisions, or that it's not only him, it's the whole team, kind of what they're going to work on. And then the workflows, he discussed the requirements for full publishing workflow that's async in comparison to sync. Where both where sync means two people can edit the same thing at the same time, and the system is handling all the edits. And async workflows means, okay, I go in today, tomorrow my editor has some comments, and I go in back and kind of work through the comments, like similar like Google Drive does. Yeah, but the whole content team. So in most of the bigger sites, it's not just one person publishing, it's not just the writers publishing, it's a whole team of media people, of video people, and they all need access to certain things and be part of the workflow and connect with each other. Right now they do it outside of WordPress and somebody brings it all together, but we all hope so much to do this in WordPress. So that's the section of the workflows. And then we talked about it already with the styles and templates, the whole system of revisions, which is a little bit archaic right now. It helps you, but it doesn't know anything about blocks. Yeah, and that will get a full overhaul of the current system, making it blocks aware and having all the data layers available for revisions so editors and admins can kind of see things. And the fourth one was something that a lot of people really want, is an overhaul of the media library with media management capabilities and unifying the interface between the block editor and the media library, and then also, of course, improve the overall media workflows. So dive into those. We have links for all of them in the show notes. Then there are two more that came out this week. Those four were last week, and this week came two more. One is about block libraries, and then one about the admin design. So, how far I did not get into reading all of it. Yeah, I skimmed a lot, but how are you doing with kind of catching up with the new things?
Yeah, I'm trying to stay up to date. I'm also skimming a lot. The new admin design really caught my eye, though, because I think, again, I think it really helps to bring everything in line into the same design using the same design system. It just really makes everything look polished. I'm so proud to work on such a good product like this when it's all coming together. And I'm really looking forward to the admin update. I'm sure so many people are as well. Looking
Yeah.
forward to an admin redesign.
Yeah, apart from that, it really looks dated, like 15 years ago. So when you look at the designs, and I will also share an article by Sarah Gooding from the WP Tavern, where she actually captures part of the conversation that happens on the post. So each one of those posts, it's not only reading through the post that Matthias did. Each one of them has between 15 and 25 or 40 comments, yeah, where the whole contributors come together and kind of have an input there, and you can too. And Sarah Gooding did a great job in summarizing the main points of the support that an admin support will get from the developer community, especially the screenshot that, for me, it means I saw a screenshot from a plugin settings page, and you come from something like the site editor where it says plugins or the list of plugins, and then you click on it, and then you get the plugin has its own space with menu on the left, menu on tabs on top, and then so it feels like its own app, but with the same interfaces that Gutenberg is using or the block editor is using, or by that point when that comes out, WordPress is using. So it all will be more polished, as you said, it will be more modern, but it will also be more contained, kind of keeping the cognitive load that you have when you have too many things that you can click on that kind of overwhelm you. You can focus on that plugin settings and that plugin's app, and it will be a similar experience than the block editor is now.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I think it really helps with the user experience. It's perfect. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, and we had a live Q&A with the developers from GiveWP. That's a very strong plugin with millions of users that allows nonprofits to collect donations on their website. And they are coming out with a revamp of their plugin using WordPress components and scripts, and making it the same interface like a block editor, but you're creating your own forms. So they have no additional, there's no additional training necessary to get what each interface item does. Yeah. You have the drop downs that you know from the sidebar from the block editor, you have the inserter from the block editor, and you have the design tools that you need from the block editor, and they did a great job. And Jason Adams and John Waldstein, they did a great demo about the stage of their revamp right now, and we have a great discussion with also Lena Morita, who was on the show. She is actually a developer on the components team. So it was a great conversation. So I'll leave a link in the show notes for you if you missed it. And you shouldn't have missed it, of course. But so you can get it recorded. We recorded it, and the post with all the additional links, they are in the YouTube description. So you can follow up along with that, yeah.
Around the real-time collaboration as well, Riyadh's posted a really good post on the core blog as well. So yeah, maybe it'd be good to link to that as well if you're more interested in the technical
right.
detail.
Yeah,
around
He just posted it yesterday, I think. Yeah, where he dives really into the architecture of the real-time collaboration, because he 2 years ago he did some experiments with a site called sblogs.com. Yeah, where you could have two versions of the same post, and then you could, with different browsers, you could kind of edit it, and it was all there, and you could actually share it. I don't know what happened with that, but so he has some great insights in how that's going to work, and we leave that also in the show notes. And then this is just an announcement. If you are listening to this on the weekend and early next week, there will be another live Q&A on July 21st, and that's with David Bowman and Alec Gitas and Joni Halabi. And we're talking about design systems and how they work with the theme JSON. So David and Alec, they are working on the WordPress VIP side of Automattic, and they have built a bridge between a Figma design system, token system, and the theme JSON. And so as a site manager or designer, you can kind of keep in sync those two systems and don't have to recreate things in ThemeJSON, because there's a bridge plugin that does all the settings and the variables and all that for you for your next WordPress theme. So spinning up a new site within the design system shouldn't be too hard. So check in with us on July 21st, 1700 UTC. The link is on the front page of the Gutenberg Times homepage. Of course, we have it also in the show notes. And if you listen to that after July 21st, it will be on YouTube under live streams. So you can watch the recording there as well. Well, this was a lot of announcements. So do you have anything that you want to announce. Well, you will be 6.4 editor co-lead, tech
Yes.
lead for the editor. But there's also a you also work on themes, right?
Yeah.
So there is also a new default theme coming. Do you know anything
Yes.
about that? Do we have
Yes,
some rumors or
some
some
like
secrets we can share?
Hot takes. So, well, I know it was really exciting. I think we're going to be looking at how we handle post formats. So
Oh,
there are
okay.
ways to do it at the moment, but I don't think they're obvious. They're not easy. So I think maybe a focus of the new default theme will be to focus on post formats. So things like to help things like, well, podcast websites would be a
Yes.
good example.
Yeah.
That's really exciting because I imagine a lot of people have probably waited for that functionality as well.
Yeah, that has been a little bit of neglected a bit.
Yes.
Overall, the Gutenberg excitement. Yes, of course. Yeah. All right. So, when people want to get in contact with you, Sarah, where can they connect with you or best connect with you?
Yes. So, I'm Mika Chan, is my username on most formats, or Mika Chan underscore, where Mika Chan's already been taken. And I'm on LinkedIn and all the usual places. So, yeah, you can find me easily.
All right. So, Mika Chan, what is that?
Oh, it's a really old username I've had since I was a kid, basically. It's just an anime reference. I was an anime fan. I used to build fan sites using WordPress, actually, when I was
So,
a kid.
you stopped building fan sites now?
Yeah, it's a little disappointing, isn't it? Fan sites aren't really a thing anymore. Maybe they should be. I think we should bring fan sites back.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. It was a great fun to have you on the show. And I'm looking forward to working with you also on the 6.4 release, because we will probably connect quite a bit, because Anne and I, will be on the editor triage team.
Yes,
So
exactly.
We will give you all the things to shovel through.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to working with you too. And thank you so much.
All right, thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.